90.1 FM. This is KPFT in Houston. Coming up next, Queer Voices.
Join the United Concerned Neighbors as they stand up against racism and violence. The Cleveland, Texas chapter of the KKK will be in Santa Fe on April 5th. Their lecture and exhibit at the Thelma Weber Community Center is a direct attempt to recruit members and establish a local chapter. If they succeed, residents of Galveston County face an increased risk of racist harassment and violence. The United Concerned Neighbors urge you to attend our Safe and Legal protest located outside the Thelma Weber Community Center on April 5th beginning at 1:30 p.m. The Thelma Weber Community Center is in Santa Fe, Texas on Jackson Street just off of Highway 6. Don't let them come into our communities unopposed. Sponsored by the United Concerned Neighbors of Galveston County. For more information, call 832-498-5795 or 832-594-7052.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concern of the lesbian, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Belinsky.
And I'm Joan Devlin.
And J.D. Doyle.
And Glenn Holt.
Well, things don't always go the way we hoped they would go. And if you're reading our website, things are not going to be quite in the same order that we put them up there because of some technical difficulties here. And we're still trying to figure them out. Actually, Glenn's trying to figure them out. Usually we start news wrap on the top of the show after what we introduce the show, but that's probably not going to happen tonight. But what we're going to be talking about tonight, among other things, is Ray Hill is here, our Supreme Court reporter, and he's going to be talking about the Lawrence versus Texas case, which is Texas sodomy law. And then, Joan, you have two very interesting authors coming up.
Yes. First will be Elizabeth Stewart, who will be talking to us about the V-Book, which is A Doctor's Guide to Complete Vulvo-Vaginal Health. Mm. And then Brett Hartinger will be talking about the Geography Club, which is his book about a group of students who start a gay-straight alliance at their school, but call it the Geography Club. So, one, the adults won't know what they're really doing, and two, it'll sound so boring that no straight students will want to join.
They're definitely studying where it's at.
Oh, yeah.
And at 9:30, we're going to have a call-in from two women up in College Station who are riding their bicycles across the country, if I got this correct.
That's right. Texas, actually, Houston is like the halfway point.
And they're talking, their whole crusade is about gay marriages, if I'm not correct.
Right.
And we've talked to them as they stop over here in College Station. And actually, I believe this Friday, they're going to be at Meteor talking about what they're doing. So that's happening, among other things. But let's first talk about our top story here with Arnita Totenberg here, Ray Hill, and the Texas sodomy law.
Well, this is a very interesting case. It's got a long history. Legalization of homosexual behavior was, when I began as an activist in the mid-60s, a very top priority. And the first state in the United States to decriminalize homosexual behavior was Illinois. The first nation in the world to decriminalize homosexual behavior was East Germany, because they had the remnants of the Holocaust there, and they knew what the Pink Triangles were about. And so East Germany had decriminalized homosexual behavior about 1966. And about that same time, an openly gay professor of criminal law, Arthur Werner, whose son you see on television as Arthur Werner. Arthur Werner's father was an openly gay professor, very ahead of his time, but he was tasked by the American Bar Association to write a model penal code. And he just left out laws that applied to homosexuals. And so Illinois adopted the model penal code in 1968 and became the first state. And then other states were concerned about that. Texas, at that time, had a sodomy statute, which was a relatively short-term felony, but on the occasion of the third offense, you could be sentenced to life in prison under a combination of the sodomy statute and the Habitual Criminal Act. And I've actually met five men One of those men was Alvin Buchanan. You can read his cases in the Southwest Reporter from the 60s because Alvin carried his cases up through appeal. And the Alvin Buchanan cases illustrated that there were several aspects of the Texas sodomy law that was constitutionally infirm. He didn't win, but it was split decisions. It looked pretty close. And so the Texas legislature went to adopt a new penal code in 1973.
Now, is this for both gay and straight?
It was until 1973. In 1973, the model penal code was relied on very heavily, and that law was presented after it had passed the legislature to Governor Dolph Briscoe. Now, Dolph and Jenny were very Baptist, and Dolph noticed right away that there were no laws in the new Texas penal code to criminalize homosexual behavior. There were also no laws to criminalize bestiality. But he wasn't worried about the chickens with feathers, but he certainly was worried about those without feathers and other people. So he refused to sign the bill until a law was crafted criminalizing homosexual behavior. So the homosexual conduct law, or the deviant sexual practices law, section 2106, was actually written by one of our dearest friends, Craig Washington, wrote it so that it would have the least penalty possible and still be a criminal law. So it was written as a Class C misdemeanor, and no other state that criminalized that behavior had a Class C misdemeanor law. It was something of a first. And then Mickey Leland said, as soon as he was also in the legislature, they were both in the legislature together, Mickey Leland said, as soon as we get rid of Dolph Briscoe, we're going to repeal this sucker. And Dolph Briscoe went on to greater rewards, and we got new governors, and Mickey Leland, true to his word, tried to repeal it, and it didn't work. The first constitutional test of Section 2106 was put together by Pat Wiseman with the Texas Human Rights Foundation, and it filed in federal civil court, and Judge Buchanan gave us the decision. By the time that got to the Supreme Court, it reached there the same session as the Hardwick v. Bowers case out of Georgia. And so the Baker v. Wade case, which was Pat Wiseman's case, Baker v. Wade case became just a footnote to Hardwick. The Supreme Court heard arguments on both of them, but accepted Hardwick as the principal case and just kind of threw Baker away. The next attempt was the Morales case, again a Pat Wiseman thing, which went up the civil side, 2106 of criminal law, and so he went up the civil side and he got as far as the Texas Supreme Court, and they said, oh, I'm sorry, this case belongs across the hall where the criminal court, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals is. So that was a dud. And so finally, we got the rarest of all things was an actual arrest and criminal conviction to appeal up on the criminal side. And that thus has carried us through the Texas courts with some weird opinions. And when I say weird opinions, I'm not just underestimating. We made it through the District Court of Appeals quite comfortably. When we went to the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, in an unpublished opinion, they poured us out. Why? Because by the time we got there, that court was dominated by people who were elected politically by the fundamentalist